everybody. Today our class is on maturity through stewardship. So I'm really excited to teach the lesson. I've been going through and studying it, and I'm just so excited and to have a passion for the subject too. So I get to share it with you guys, and I'm going to really enjoy your guys' insight as well and what you can have to help contribute to the class. So I encourage you guys to participate as well. I first want to start with a prayer as we begin the class. And Ashley, would you do the prayer for us, please?
Yes.
Awesome.
Okay, let's pray. Dear God in heaven, I just thank you for this time that we can all come together and worship you today on Sunday, all with the church family. Lord, I just ask that you help us learn this lesson and hear your word and give us wisdom as we learn it and have open ears to hear your word and use it in the world. Lord, I just be with each and every one of us and help us serve you in everything that we do. Help us to do what is right before you and bring glory to you always. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. There are sheets in the back when you guys are coming in if you haven't grabbed one. I have a couple here. I can give you guys some. All right, so for those of you who don't know me, I'm Marjorie Kelly, and my husband is Brian. He's a deacon here, and then these are my three girls. I have twin girls, Ashley and Brianna, and then my youngest, Sierra. So by trade, I went to school to be an accountant, and then 21 years ago when I had the girls, I stayed home full time. So I do accounting a little bit on the side, but primarily I've been a mom, I homeschooled our girls, and Sierra recently graduated, so that chapter is finished. And so that's more about me. And so as an accountant, I can go a little nerdy on you guys, I guess, right? Let's talk about financial statements real quick. There won't be a quiz or anything like that, but we're going to talk about financial statements and how we have, there's a profit and loss statement. We think about a business. And you have your income, and you have your expenses, and then you have your net income, the amount of money you have. Then you have a balance sheet. And on a balance sheet, you have your assets, which are things that the business owns, or if you're doing a personal balance sheet, things that you own. Then you have your liabilities, which are things that you owe. And then there's equity, which is your ownership in the business. And then there's the statement of cash flows, which is the ins and outs of cash in your family or in your business, whichever it is. So to start out about stewardship, I want to go to the balance sheet, to the assets. And the assets are things that the business owns or things that you guys own. So let's do that. And you guys can help participate. I'm going to put assets here on the board. And these are things that you guys own. Anybody have any ideas of things that you guys own that we can put? We're going to do a list of things that you own.
Like a car?
Like a car, absolutely.
Your home?
Your home. What else?
A boat?
A boat.
If you're lucky.
Okay.
Who has a boat?
I don't
know. An RV.
An RV.
You can own property.
Property.
A business. A retirement fund.
Yes. I think about with a retirement fund, it's like an investment account. So you have your bank accounts. You can have your checking account, your savings account. You can have your cash that you actually use. So I'll just put bank accounts. How about things like our clothes that we wear?
Way too much money invested.
What else? Our food.
Furniture.
What did you say?
Tools.
Tools.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we have way too many tools, too.
Yes. How about our education, like our degrees, things that... All right, so, yes, Abby.
This is kind of a business thing, but a good name.
A good name, excellent. Sometimes we don't consider this us owning, but how about our families? Our friendships, our... All right, well, we own a lot of things, don't we? Clothes, food, furniture, education, all these assets. Well, now I want to challenge you guys. And so on this sheet that I gave you guys, you'll see there's an asset list. You guys can jot those things down there if you'd like. Things that you own. And now I'm going to move down into the scriptures. That first scripture we have there, it's Psalm 24, 1 and 2. I'm going to read that for you guys. It says, Psalm 24, 1 and 2, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers." So in these blanks right here, what I want you guys to do is write, well, actually, all these things. They don't belong to us. Everything belongs to God. God owns. Don't belong to us. We're simply the managers of these things, the caretakers, the owners, or God is the owner, the caretakers of these things. The next scripture I want to go to is on your list. It's 1 Corinthians. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. So here, we is the word there that's in the blank, belong. So I think in this world, a lot of times we think of all these things that we have, all these things that are ours, that we've earned, that we've worked for, when really, ultimately, we know as Christians that these things all belong to God, and they all come from Him, and there are blessings that we've been given. So now, when we take a step back, how are we using these things? How are we managing these things? So that's the next thing we talk, where it says, define stewardship. Does anyone want to try and define stewardship? I have here, it's the responsibility to care for or manage something that belongs to someone else. So these things belong to God, but we are entrusted and are managing these things for Him. We are entrusted with these things. So how are we doing that? A lot of times I think that stewardship can be defined incorrectly. So we think of stewardship, sometimes people think of money and giving, and there's a big project for the church, or there's something that we need to give to, and think of that as stewardship, when really that's not stewardship at all. Stewardship is after we give, it's what we keep for ourselves and how we manage what we have left from God that we're entrusted with. And so it's completely different than the giving part. That is just what we do because we're giving to the Lord what He's already given us. Now we're managing everything else. Does that make sense? So when I think of stewardship, I think I've mentioned these already, being a caretaker, a manager, an overseer. It could be an overseer of accounts, like we were talking about accounts. It can be overseer of our families, of our households. It can be overseer of a project or a business. There's so many things, right? Different dynamics and things in our lives that we oversee. So we're called to be good and faithful stewards. Stewards, not stewards. We use His resources, and we need to be diligent. We need to be hardworking. We need to be willing to take some reasonable risk. And we need to build up and increase what God's given us. So that's stewardship defined. So now I want to look at some examples. Are there examples in Scripture of people that were good stewards? Does anybody have an example that they want to share? If not, I'll start off. The first one, let's see if you guys know who these people are. The first one's from the Old Testament, and he was in charge of a large construction project. He was told there was going to be a huge flood, even though they hadn't had any rain. And he built an ark, right? Who is this?
Noah.
That's right. He was a good steward. He was constructing the ark as God had commanded him to. He rescued the animals. He saved his family. Wonderful example. Here's another one. He was given the stewardship over Israel, the Israelites. Who is this? He helped lead them out of Egypt. He didn't want to have to go to the Pharaoh and speak, but he did. And he led the people out of Egypt. Who is this?
Moses.
Here's another one. He was the son of Jacob and Rachel. He was a favorite. So his father had given him a coat of many colors, right? But his brothers got jealous because he had a dream, and then they went and they threw him in a ditch, and he became a servant, and he had to be a servant to Potiphar and his family, but he rose himself up in what he did there, and he gained additional responsibility, right? Because of him being a good steward. Later, he interpreted more dreams. He ended up going to prison. He ended up interpreting. Who is this that I'm talking about, by the way?
Joseph.
That's right. And so as his life moved on, he advised the Pharaoh about the surplus, keeping a surplus of the grain. And then he ended up being like promoted to just beneath the Pharaoh. It says in Genesis 41:40, "You shall be over my house." This is the Pharaoh saying, "You shall be over my house, and all my people shall order themselves as you command. Only as regards the throne will I be greater than you. See, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. And he gave him a signet ring, and he clothed him in fine linen. He had proved himself to the Pharaoh, even though he was the servant, the slave. And so he was a good steward. Do any of you have any other examples you'd like to share? Yes, Kelly.
The parable of the talents.
Yes.
Matthew 25.
That's right. So here in the parable of the talents, it's in Matthew 25. I have that one. So there was an owner. So this is a parable. So a story from God that Jesus was telling so that he can give us a spiritual example to. And this was later in his ministry, right before the crucifixion. And so there was an owner who was going to be leaving. And so he gave these stewards talents, which is a large sum. It could be a bag of gold, or it was a large sum of money, but all at different increments based on how much they could care for. So to the first one, he gave 5. To the second one, he gave 2. And to the next one, he gave 1 and said, go, take these. I'm leaving. And then you take care of these talents. So the first one, he gave 5. And he went out and he traded, and he got 5 more. So he had 10. The second one, he had 2. And he did well with it, and he got 2 more. The last one, he gave 1. He gave that 1, and he was scared. He didn't want to lose it for the owner. So he took it, and he buried it in the ground and hid it. So then the owner finally comes back, and they were pretty excited. They wanted to show him, like, what did I do? You know, what we did with what you gave us to take care of. And so this is exciting to me, so I'm going to read it to you, what he says, the owner. It's in Matthew 25. So the first one, he had the 5 and he made it into 10. It's in verse 21. He says, his master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Wow. Can you imagine being told by our master that we are a good and faithful servant? So then the second guy, the one that had the 2, got 2 more. What did he say to him? He said, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter the joy of your master. Then there's the third one, right? The one that hit it. What did he say to him? The one that hid it said, so I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. He was giving him back just what he gave him, right? But his master answered him, you wicked and slothful servant, you knew where I reap, where I have not sown, and gather where I have scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who had the 10. So now he was taking away that responsibility because he didn't handle it well. And it was given to the person that handled it well. Any other examples that you guys want to share? Yes, Lily.
Ruth.
Yes. Ruth. Any others? Yes.
Well, I was thinking of David, how he was good steward when he was ruling the kingdom, mm-hmm. but when it came to his relationships, he wasn't such a good steward. Mm-hmm. And how we can be good stewards in areas of our life and maybe not good stewards in other areas.
Absolutely, right? We have to kind of manage it all, have that balance. It can be difficult sometimes. The other thing I was thinking of was in Proverbs 31, where it has the the woman. Like, she was a group manager of, maybe she was the ideal, perfect, I mean, she was a great manager of everything. I think that was a good one. All right, well, let's move on to some application. So with the next part of your sheet, we have practical application. These ones are tough. We're going to see, how do we apply this to us? And I have on one side, it says, do not ask yourself. Don't ask yourself these questions on the left. We need to ask ourselves these things on the right. Okay, so we're going to go through them. And as we go through, if there's something that hits you or you want to go back and think about it this week, star it or put notes by it so you can go back and revisit it. The first one. Sometimes we ask ourselves, how do I want to spend my day? When really, what should we be asking? God, how do you want me to spend your day? Instead of asking, how do I want to spend my money? How about, Lord, how would you like me to spend your money? Instead of, how much money do I want to give to the Lord? But rather, how much money should I keep for myself? That's a tough one. This sheet's got my stuff. There it is. The next one on the back side. How do I care for and feed my body? Instead, God, how do you want me to care for and feed my body? How are we doing with our physical health? How are we doing with our mental health? How are we eating? Or do we need to exercise? What about our thoughts and how we think about things and how we talk to ourselves? The next one. How do I want to raise my children? Versus God, how do you want me to raise your children and your grandchildren? So I'm going to tell you a story about our girls, Ashley and Brianna. They are 21 now, but when they were born, they were super puny. So the way they explained it to us, because they're identical twins, they have a placenta, which is like a plate. And so the umbilical cord for Ashley, the umbilical cord came around and went solid right on the middle of the plate. So she got plenty of nutrients, did fine. Brianna, on the other hand, because it split and she tried to make do with what she had, her umbilical cord went on like the side of the plate. So like on the edge. And so she never really was thriving in the womb. And Ashley was kind of stealing from her. However, Brianna actually was stronger when she was born because she had to fight so hard to do well and to thrive. When Ashley's like, oh, this is easy, just kind of sitting back, enjoying life. So she actually, her lungs weren't as developed as Brianna's when they were born. But anyways, they were born at 29 weeks. Ashley was 2 pounds and 4 ounces, and Brianna was 1 pound and 14, so under 2 pounds, super tiny. And we felt, Brian and I, just completely helpless, right? Like, it completely out of our control. They didn't know how to breathe on their own. They didn't know how to suck. We had to put a feeding tube all the way into the doctors. They had to put a feeding tube all the way into their intestines so that they didn't even have to digest the food, and then they would move it up until their stomach, and so then they just gradually until they could suck and they can feed on their own. And so it was a huge wake-up call for Brian and I to realize these aren't our children. Like, God has entrusted us with them and he's in control, and we are just been entrusted with them and to raise them to know him and to love him. And so I'm glad we actually learned that so young and so early, because it really helped us throughout our raising of them. And I don't know that we would have experienced it otherwise. That was really a growth experience for us. And so how are we raising God's children? The next one, what kind of house or car do I want? Rather, what kind of house or car do you want me to have, Lord? How are we using those things for Him? Are we using them in service to others? Are we being hospitable? How are we using those things? And then last but not least, God, how can I bring glory and honor to you today with what you've blessed me with? So, it's a lot to think about, right? I'm going to go on to the next section, and we're going to talk about stewardship characteristics. And I'm going to turn this around.
Let's see, whose name is
Alex. So Alex was here, A-L-E-X, right before class. He enjoyed writing. Talk about three different areas. Again, you guys could take notes. This first one, self-examination. Lamentations, you can write these down if you like or go back later. 3:40. It says, let us test and examine our ways. And for in 2 Corinthians 11. This is when Paul was telling the Corinthian church, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. So we are called to examine our faith, ourselves. Also, when we take communion, Paul tells them in 1 Corinthians 11:28, a man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks the cup for communion. Self-examination. I was learning about a pilot, and did you guys know that a pilot, he flies the plane, right? He goes up in the air and he's flying. That 95% of the time that a pilot is flying, that he can go off track. There's wind currents, there's barometric pressure, and so the pilot has to be vigilant to stay on track, to stay on course. He needs to make those minor adjustments. Take a look at where he's going, keep on track, because if he doesn't, he can be 100 miles off track, right? So he needs to constantly examine where he's going and what he's doing. I think this could be similar to us, right? Where we need to examine ourselves and readjust. And this isn't something that we do in crisis mode, necessarily, right? Where it's like, I gotta adjust. No, we should be doing this daily, hourly, we just adjust. We don't have to go like this and go, but to just take those minor changes and examine our lives. I thought that was a really good analogy. So when we examine ourselves, how do we spend our money? How do we use our talents? How do we spend our time? One of the things that that Brian and I find helpful is just even going through our bank account. We go through and look at your bank account, you see, or maybe a credit card, and you see the ins and outs. And you look at it and see, where is our money going? Is it where we want it to go? Are we being deliberate about it and intentional? Or are we sometimes just in the moment being careless? And so you can examine that and see where it is and then make those minor adjustments, right? Anybody have any comments? Yes.
Well, I got kind of hung up on how do I care for and feed my body.
Uh-huh.
So let's just stop a second and think about the fact that women very often, it's the research supports it, women very often neglect their own physical dental health in favor of their children and the rest of the family, or in favor of the budget or something. And sometimes have health crisis down the line because they never took care of themselves. They pushed and pushed and pushed, and then one day it just exploded.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really common, especially women who want to be good mothers and good wives, to put off all kinds of self-care.
Absolutely. That's a really good point. Like Brian always reminds me, we have insurance, use it, right? Because it's like, oh, I don't want to worry about that. It's like, we do, we have it, like use it. Go and get checked out, whatever you need to. But you're right.
Yeah.
It's very important. Any other thoughts? We are called to live in this world, but to not be of this world, right? That was another thing when I'm thinking about examining. Because the world, when we look out in the world, they live a different way than what God calls us. So when we examine ourselves, if we're comparing ourselves to the world, then we're comparing to the wrong, we're not doing the right thing. That's not how we should be comparing ourselves to. Should we also be comparing ourselves to one another so much? Oh, well, she's got that. Well, then I want to get that. Or their family's doing that, so I need to do that. No, that's not what God's calling to us to do either. But we need to examine ourselves and examine the word and follow him. All right, the next one.
Hey, Martin.
Yes?
I was just gonna, as you're saying that, I was thinking that's such a great point because we get so caught up in that. It's really hard to self-examine because we don't want to see our own faults. So really, that's where this maturity comes in, is to be able to really see ourselves and our faults and the things we need to work on and examine those things because, I don't know, as I'm speaking, I'm thinking, I know what my faults are, but it's still easy when I'm thinking about myself to not really, okay, what do I need to do to change? Okay, what do I, and not doing the comparison thing,
yes.
Right? Because I think culturally that's our American way. It's whatever everybody else is doing is what I need to be doing, and to really stop and be like, no, this, really though, our life is simple. God's given us this life. We don't have to have all of these things. These are the things that we as Americans have put on ourselves.
Absolutely, right.
As you're talking, I'm thinking of stewardship. Is trust just keeps coming up in my mm-hmm. head. This is really about we've been entrusted.
We have.
You know, and he's trusting us to make those right decisions.
Absolutely. Excellent. Anybody else? Next comment. Self-control. Just... Yes, Julie.
I was a little slow trying to figure out my words. So, the parable of the talents, heard it a million times, but I started thinking about it a little bit differently as you just read them. And it's interesting that the comparison of I should do what other people do. When you don't have much, you really want to hold on to it. And so that guy who's got one talent, I absolutely relate to that, because when you just have a little, you want to hold on to it. And it's funny that that guy, the master told him, you could have given it to a bank and at least gotten some interest for it. He didn't say, you should have gone out there and traded it and, you know, done all the things that the other guys who had more talents and turned into more. And so I think that's really interesting for us to take that too. If you feel like your talent, this is it, I gotta hold on to it. Well, no, you shouldn't be doing what everybody else is doing, but you should be doing something.
Exactly.
And I've never thought about that parable in that way. And I think it's interesting that they use the word talent. Mm-hmm. And we immediately turn that into how we use the word talent. It's not money, it's what we can and can't do. But yeah, so even if you have a little, and I think most of us feel like we have just a little. I know very few people in this world that go, I got it all. I got all the talent. I can do anything. That's very few people. Most of us feel like we have just a little, but we're told to do what we can with that little. Not what everybody that you see and believe has so much more than you do. Actually, they don't, but you just feel that way.
Excellent point. I think of the analogy of being closed-fisted versus having an open hand. That, like, that guy with the one, that was the unfortunate part, is that he was closed-fisted about it. He wanted to just keep it. But to have that open hand where we are giving and receiving, both going both ways, is important. Self-control. It's a fruit of the Spirit, right? Galatians 5:23. Also, when in Titus, when we learn about the qualities of an elder, of an overseer, it's in Titus 1:7. Let's read what the qualities of an elder. For an overseer, as God's steward, must be above reproach. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered or a drunkard or violent or greedy for gain, but hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also rebuke those who contradict it. Self-control, uprightness, trustworthiness. These are all things that we can do to be a good and faithful steward. So how are our impulses? Right? Again, we've kind of talked about some of these things already, about spending our time or our money. How about our tongues? How do we deal with anger or our temper? How about our appetites and our thoughts? Are we self-controlled? These are tough things, right? Really tough. Any other comments or scriptures you guys want to share? Sometimes I think self-control can be saying no also, being able to stop and take a step back and say no to things. I think sometimes our tendency is, yeah, I can do that, oh yeah, I can do that, but then it's okay to say no too, and being controlled to do both, to say yes and to say no. So then as I thought about. Yes, Evelyn.
And the word discipline really comes into that.
Mm-hmm.
I really approached this lesson from the budget side of it, because mm-hmm. that's what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about as we were young family and didn't have much, and how much discipline and self-control it took to get out of debt, to manage a budget that didn't work on paper,
mm-hmm.
To figure out what we're going to cut and how we're going to do it. There's a group of us that would take our kids to the beach once a week, and then all the ladies would sit around and talk, and then I know we still do that here. And my sister and I, both very limited budgets, and we would do all the things, make the peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, bring the Kool-Aid or the water or whatever, pack the lunches, and then sit around and talk, and some of the ladies would have stopped at Jack in the Box and had their little, or whatever, Happy Meals, whatever, and our kids are seeing that. And yet the same ladies were complaining how they just couldn't make it and their budget was blowing up and they never had money. And it takes a lot of discipline to plan ahead and think ahead and manage what you have, even if you think it's a little, to manage it well,
mm-hmm.
and to not just throw in the towel and do something like, well, we're just gonna stop it at McDonald's and whatever it costs.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of discipline and self-control involved in
yes.
managing a budget.
Yes, so discipline and planning. You have to plan in advance, right? Like even looking at our budgets, we can look in advance for the next month. What do we have? And what's the money coming in? And then where is that money gonna go? And deliberately put it in those areas. I don't think that God calls us that we can't sometimes go to Jack in the Box and indulge, right? Like we can enjoy those things, but we need to be deliberate about it. We need to plan for it and be disciplined rather than just impulsively doing what's easy, because it is easy in America to do that, for sure. Yes, Kelly.
Not sure that this fits in, but Evelyn reminded me years ago, a family here had a group of people over for lunch after church. And I mean, we were just getting together to hang out and fellowship and be together as like-minded people.
Mm-hmm.
And we had peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Oh, sweet.
Like that's
yes.
what they did, and that's what they could do. It was more important to them not to say, oh, look what I have, than it was much more important to be together.
Mm-hmm.
And
to build those relationships.
I think sometimes we, in being hospitable and being good stewards, we worry about, well, I'm not going to have people over because my house doesn't look right, or I can't, you know, put on a big spread. It's so much more important to do what God wants us to do in that moment.
That's excellent. Great point. Love it. Anybody else? Last one. Let's see, we have 15 minutes. Self-sacrifice. So denying ourselves, kind of like what we're talking about already. In Romans 12:1, I'll turn to there, talks about us being living sacrifices. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is our spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing that you may discern what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So we need to live lives to be living sacrifices, to deny ourselves. That's in Luke 9:23, if you guys want to go and and look them up later. He says to deny himself and follow Christ. Each day, we need to put aside and put to death our wishes, our personal desires, our agendas, our comforts for the greater good of the kingdom. We have to give up today. I'll get
to you, Donna. Can we do it without being a martyr, though? One of my favorite things is, how does a mother change a light bulb? She doesn't. She just says, you go ahead and have a good time, and I'll just sit here in the dark. So, yes. I'm all for self-sacrifice, but some women just really take it too far. Mm-hmm. And that's not good either, because it makes the Christian life look unappealing. Well, if I have to do that, maybe I don't want any part of it.
It's finding that balance, right? We have to take care of ourselves, too. Yeah. We can't just let ourselves fall by the wayside. That's how we can give our full selves to our families, and that's how we have to care for our households and our brothers and sisters in Christ.
Now, at the risk of being considered rude, I'm going to go pick up husband.
Okay. Yes. Ashley.
To go based off of what she said, as we've been discussing, like, our body is not ours. It's God. So us not taking care of ourselves, we're in a way, we're not really using our body that brings glory to God. So to have a good balance is to be self-sacrificing for others, but also, I guess, help yourself out as well, because that brings glory to God as well.
Good. Brianna, do you have a comment?
It kind of goes along with what they both said, but I was thinking along the lines is that the world can do these things. Self-examination, self-control, self-sacrifice, but they have to have the right, for us as Christians, we need to have the right mindset that we're doing it for God and not ourselves.
Excellent. I love that. It's where our focus is, right? Like, if we go back to the other side, that all these things have been given and trusted us from God. And so if we just think about it, us as individuals, as families, of all that God has, he has everything. He's entrusted each one of us with a portion of what is his. And now it's our responsibility just to manage that wisely and to take care of it. I think it seems so amazing that we get to take care of what we can. And it could be a little, it could be a lot, it could be going up, and it's going to be sometimes a little, sometimes a lot, depending on where we are and you know, in our daily lives, in our life cycle. Anybody else want to have any more thoughts? We're almost out of time. Yes, Stephanie.
I'm just going to say that I think I love tying this into, like, just every day, right? Because I don't know, I think as Christians sometimes we get so focused on the Sunday morning worship. Everything's about church, right? And really, Sunday morning worship in quote church is a very minuscule part of our entire life and our entire world the rest of the week. And it's easy as Christians to just kind of focus on Sunday. Am I here on Sunday? Am I at worship? Am I doing, okay, yeah, this all sounds really great. But this is like, this should be our life every day.
Yes.
And worship is just one sliver of the whole picture of what we should be doing.
Absolutely. Anybody else? Did I miss a hand? Yes, Christina.
Along with self-sacrifice, this was a tough lesson for me to learn, and I only learned it because when my mom became ill, I had to step up, and I did not want to. Mm-hmm. I said, no, I can't do it, but I knew that I had to do it for her, mm-hmm. and it ended up being the biggest blessing of my life.
That's great. That's great. I think about just doing this lesson for me, like, this is totally out of my comfort zone, having to be in front of it and prepare and to teach the class, and like, but Stephanie had asked me, I'm like, I got to just do it. I got to just get up there, and I loved it. I really enjoyed it. So thank you all for participating, and appreciate it.
Thank you.